Well, good afternoon. Welcome to this city council meeting. It's so nice to have you with us. This is the May 19, 2014 council meeting. We'll begin tonight's meeting with an invocation from Pastor Tony Frazee. And then following the invocation, we'll have a Pledge of Allegiance by Vice Mayor Glover. Please stand.
God Almighty, Sovereign Creator, we ask your blessing, God, on our nation, your continued favor. We ask you to watch over our sons and daughters that are stationed or deployed. Watch over our city, over our first responders, our policemen and women. We ask your hand upon this meeting in Jesus' name. Amen.
Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. And to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. We appreciate that. Good to have you with us, Pastor. Wonderful. Tonight we have Councilmember Benelli and Councilmember Summers that are joining us by phone. Councilmembers, can you hear us okay?
Yes, I can, Mayor.
Councilmember Benelli, how about Councilmember Summers? You there? Okay, working on that one. Good. So we hope to have him join us in just a few moments. The next segment of this meeting is our awards and recognitions, and we have some exciting awards tonight. The first is that we are going to recognize the Mesa Canine Unit, who brought home several awards from the 2014 Desert Dog Police Canine Trials. Many of our competing canines and their handlers are with us here tonight. And we'd like to invite up John Rolfe to the podium to tell us more about the trials and introduce our winners. Please come up, Sergeant.
Thank you, Mayor Finter, council members and council members for inviting us, my team, to be recognized today. Let me introduce you to our team. They're huddled in the back there. We have Officer Gordy Leitz, who works with K-9 Chico. Officer John LaFontaine, who works with K-9 Spike and K-9 Ike. Officer Joel Anderson, who works with K-9 Jupe and K-9 Ruby. Officer Mike Redden, who works with Brom. And the three teams that competed in the Desert Dog K-9 Trials last month were Officer Ron Swart with K-9 Lotus, Officer Scott Callender with K-9 Jake, Officer Brian Cochran with K-9 Max, and K-9 Kira. A little bit about the trials. The 12th annual Desert Dog Canine Trials were held last month in Scottsdale, and incidentally, one of our own officers, Gordy Leitz, was instrumental in getting those canine trials going 12 years ago. Nice. The trials are held over a three-day period. They're designed to test the skills of each canine handler and dog. Over 60 teams competed this year. There are 8 individual events and 2 team events, which include explosives and narcotics detection, obedience, tactical challenge, building search, area search, handler protection, and top dog. I'm proud to say that our officers did an outstanding job. Where's Brian? Brian Cochran, and with K-9 Max, won 3rd place in the building search, and with K-9 Kira, won 6th place in narcotics detection. Officer Scott Callender and Jake won 1st place in narcotics, 1st place in tactical obedience, 1st place in area search, and 1st place in top dog. And incidentally, you may have heard a few weeks ago that K-9 Jake was injured in the line of duty during a barricade situation, yes. And he's recovering quite well.
Oh, good. Are we going to be able to invite him up? Do you think it's appropriate to have him come up here
sure.
in the front? Good. We didn't know if there was a safety issue. We'd love to have him.
You want them all to come up now?
Good. Please, bring them on down.
You guys are safe behind there.
Right. Have them come on in. There's Jake, right? Yeah, come on up.
As a team, these guys won 1st place in team narcotics and 2nd place in team patrol. The last event of the trials is called the Toughest Dog Competition. I forgot to introduce Ron. No, wait, no, I didn't. It's Toughest Dog Competition. Throughout the trials, the judges take notes on the individual's dog, the individual dogs for pursuit, quality of bite, and courage. They then pick 10 dogs out of all the dogs for this competition. I'm proud to say all three of our canines were picked to compete in this event. After a tiebreaker between Mesa and DPS, which it really shouldn't have been a tiebreaker, there's actually, if we had, I could go to a video, but we don't have it. Officer Ron Swart and Canine Lotus took home this prestigious trophy,
nice.
Which
Come
is
on down.
Back here. This trophy travels between each department, whoever wins this final event. So congratulations to my officers, and thanks for having us here.
Yeah. Congratulations. So wait right there. We wanted to get a picture, and we have Councilmember Kavanaugh, who's the chair of our public safety group and the committee, and so we'd love to have some pictures if you think this is a good time.
Yeah, we could probably muster that up.
Muster that one. Okay, good. Well, come on down. It's wonderful to know the citizens of Mesa are protected by such an amazing canine group, and just every night they go out and risk their lives every day, and we appreciate what they do for us, so we wanted to make sure and recognize them. Very nice. Our next item under recognitions, we'd like to recognize Rebuilding Together Valley of the Sun. It's a wonderful organization that assists homeowners with home repairs, painting, building ramps for the elderly at their homes, and safety modifications. On Saturday, April 12th, they spent National Rebuilding Day in Mesa repairing six homes at the Sunrise Vista Mobile Home Trailer Park. I wanted to thank these volunteers from Honeywell, Boeing, Urban Energy Solutions, and SunState Equipment who participated that day. Some of them are here in the audience tonight, and we'd like to hand it over to Kate Warren from Rebuilding Together Valley of the Sun to tell us a little bit more about the organization and introduce these volunteers. Kate, come on up.
Well, thank you for inviting us to be here. We've been in the Valley for 24 years now doing significant home repairs and making improvements in the lives of low-income seniors. Every April, we choose one community to do more in-depth home repairs. And this year, we worked with Sunrise Vista Mobile Home Park in Mesa to help nine different homeowners with their home repairs. We partnered with this organization because they had several vacant homes that just had no one to fill it. They needed a lot of work before anyone would even want to live in those homes. And we were approached by the park managers that said, if you can fix them up, we will give them to three deserving homeowners. So with 4 days that we actually ended up doing, Boeing, Choice Hotels, Crescent Crown, DPR Construction, Honeywell, SunState, Urban Energy, and Wells Fargo came out and gave over 400 hours of volunteer time to make a difference for these homeowners.
Wonderful. Do we have them here tonight? Have them come on up here. Yes, we'd love to have them come up. It was amazing work while they're coming. These homes that were in disrepair, it was wonderful to see your cooperation, to be able to make those livable and wonderful homes for them, and all of these folks working so hard on their day off. And we were so impressed that you chose Mesa and that 300 South Val Vista and to come in and make that difference. So love to get a picture with you here. Okay, our third and last presentation will be given by Pamela Muse, the Western Regional Director of Alliance for Innovation. She is here to present an award for innovation to the City of Mesa. Accepting the award is the Economic Development Director, Bill Jibjiniak, and Deputy Director, Jay O'Donnell. Bill and Jay, please join us. Ms. Muse, wonderful to have you here.
Thank you very much, Mayor, Council, Mr. Brady. Really appreciate the opportunity to be here tonight. This is probably one of the most favorite things of my entire job, is coming out and giving this award to one of hundreds of cities that apply for it each year. I did want to tell you a little bit about the award that you're receiving tonight. It's called the Robert Havlick Award for Innovation and Local Government. Mr. Havlick was the founder of this organization back in 1979, and in 2003, the Board of Directors started the Havlick Award. I wanted to tell you a little bit about the award itself and the process. and that is the city of Mesa competed with 91 other cities and counties across the U.S. and Canada for this particular award. It's a very extensive and complicated award process, that being that every written application is read and weighted. It's weighted against innovation, applicable real-world practicality, solid outcomes, leadership, and the application process, application itself. Could we read it? Was it understandable? Each agency is interviewed and then a phone interview, and using the same weighting criteria, another set of totals are given. The successful applicants are then sent on to a selection committee, which consists of faculty from Arizona State University, who is our academic partner, Alliance board members, who are city and county managers from across the U.S. and Canada, the conference host committee, which was this year the City of Denver and the City County of Denver, the president of the Alliance, and then we call on three academics that three local governments across the U.S. that have something in common with this particular application. So being a university category, we invited the city of Fort Collins. The final selection committee looks at all of the criteria, all of the data that's given to them, and they're looking for local governments that have shown dedication to strengthening and improving the boundaries of day-to-day government, implementing creative business processes, and those that have improved the civic health of their communities. Using the same grading system, then the final selection committee comes up with, in this case, the 2014 Robert Havoc Award for Innovation in Local Government. At our annual awards luncheon in Denver this past April, there were approximately 720 people present when we gave the award out to the city of Mesa. And what you're receiving the award for was, quote, how Mesa became a college town. As a direct result of 3 years of inspired vision and strategic business attraction efforts, in 2012, the city of Mesa announced the successful recruitment of 5 private, nonprofit, liberal arts colleges and universities. Your hard work through the Alliance will share your work and efforts with people across the U.S., Australia, and Canada. Your forward thinking and successful solutions will serve as a great resource for your peers across the U.S., Canada, and Australia. With that, I'd like to thank you for the opportunity to let me be here this evening to present the award to the mayor and the economic development staff for the Robert J. Havlick Award for Innovation in Local Government.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Mayor and Council, on the while you're all coming down here, I'd like to recognize a couple of our partner schools that are here with us tonight. Charlie Gregory is representing with his team. He brought quite the team with him tonight from Benedictine University. And Dr. Claudia McNeely is here representing Upper Iowa University as well. So thank you for joining us as well.
Very nice. As we're getting seated, we appreciate your patience. We know there's others here to hear some zoning cases in different parts, so thank you for hanging in there with us. We'd like to invite up now this next item. First item on the agenda is to take action on the consent agenda, which will be read by Mr. Kevin Christopher.
Good evening. All citizens are permitted and encouraged to speak on agenda items. If you're interested in speaking, please fill out a blue card in the back of the room and give it to the city clerk. When the council considers the item, you will be called to the podium to provide your comments. Mayor and council members, these are the items on the consent agenda. All items listed with an asterisk will be considered as a group by the city council and will be enacted with one motion. There will be no separate discussion unless a council member or citizen requests, in which event the item will be removed from the consent agenda and considered as a separate item. If a citizen wants an item removed, a blue card must be completed and given to the city clerk prior to the council's vote on the consent agenda. Item 2, approval of minutes of previous meetings as written. Item 3A, act on liquor license application for Fry's Food and Drug, 2727 East Broadway Road. Item 3B, act on liquor license application for La Familia Pizza and Pasta, 1859 West Guadalupe Road. Item 3C, act on liquor license application for Native New Yorker, 1947 South Signal Butte. Item 3D, act on liquor license application for Tokyo Joe's, 1935 South Alvesta drive. Item 4A, act on contract for city's annual replacement program of personal computers for various city departments. Item 4B, act on contract to purchase replacement carpet at the main library and Dobson Police Station as requested by the facility's maintenance department. Item 4C, act on dollar limit increase to the term contract for emergency response, non-emergency response, and household hazardous waste event support for the Development and Sustainability Department. This purchase is partially funded by the environmental compliance fee and the Mesa Green and Clean fee. Item 4D, act on contract to purchase stage floor refurbishment and replacement for the Mesa Arts Center. This purchase is funded by the Mesa Arts Center Restoration Fund. Item 4E, act on one-year term contract for temporary employment services for the Arts and Culture Department as requested by the Human Resources Department. Item 4F, act on three-year term contract for luminaries and components for streetlight lamps for the Materials and Supply Warehouse for the Transportation and Facilities Maintenance Departments. Item 4G, act on contract to purchase two replacement vehicles for the Fire and Medical Department. This purchase is funded by the Fire and Medical Services budget. Item 4H, act on three-year term contract for fence, gate, and safety rail repair installation for the Transportation Department. Item 4I, act on three-year term contract for heavy-duty automotive body repair services for the Fleet Services Department. Item 4J, act on contract to purchase a replacement pneumatic turning target system for the Police Department. The purchase is funded by the AZ Post grant agreement and by the police operating budget. Item 4K, act on contract to purchase video surveillance equipment to upgrade the closed-circuit television system for Mesa Municipal Court. Item 5, act to approve a salary adjustment for city magistrates effective July 1, 2014. Item 6A, act on resolution authorizing and supporting the submittal of a grant application by Aguila Youth Leadership Incorporated to the Gila River Indian Community to expand college preparation services to students in the East Valley. Item 6B, act on resolution authorizing and supporting the submittal of a grant application by Arizona Autism Charter School to the Gila River Indian Community to support their health and wellness activity center and sensory gym. Item 6C, act on resolution authorizing and supporting the submittal of a grant application by the Arizona Burn Foundation to the Gila River Indian Community to support their strategic growth campaign to expand services. Item 6D, act on resolution authorizing and supporting the submittal of a grant application by the Arizona Museum of Natural History to the Gila River Indian Community to support expansion of Mesa Grande Cultural Park educational outreach to Title I schools. Item 6E, act on resolution authorizing and supporting the submittal of a grant application by Adelaide to the Gila River Indian Community to support the 31st Annual Roy Track Mesa Powwow. Item 6F, act on resolution authorizing and supporting the submittal of a grant application by A.T. Still University of Health Sciences to the Gila River Indian Community to support outreach expansion for the Native Students Achieving Healthcare Professions Program. Item 6G, act on resolution authorizing and supporting the submittal of a grant application by Banner Health Foundation to the Gila River Indian Community to expand special education programming at the Howard S. Gray School at Banner Behavioral Health Center. Item 6H, act on resolution authorizing and supporting the submittal of a grant application by the Boy Scouts of America Grand Canyon Council to the Gila River Indian Community to expand traditional scouting programs. Item 6I, act on resolution authorizing and supporting the submittal of a grant application by the Child Crisis Center to the Gila River Indian Community to support emergency shelter services. Item 6J, act on resolution authorizing and supporting the submittal of a grant application by the City of Mesa Police Department to the Gila River Indian Community to support rape aggression defense community education and training. Item 6K, act on resolution authorizing and supporting the submittal of a grant application by the Gene Lewis Boxing Club to the Gila River Indian Community to support their Building Futures One Child at a Time program. Item 6L, act on resolution authorizing and supporting the submittal of a grant application by the City of Mesa's Mesa Counts on College Department to the Gila River Indian Community to support the Community Educational Access Center. Item 6M, act on resolution authorizing and supporting the submittal of a grant application by Mission of Mercy to the Gila River Indian Community to support their mobile clinic services. Item 6N, act on resolution authorizing and supporting the submittal of a grant application by Oakwood Creative Care to the Gila River Indian Community to support their adult day health services program. Item 6O, act on resolution authorizing and supporting the submittal of a grant application by Paz de Cristo to the Gila River Indian Community to support extended day shelter services. Item 6P, act on resolution authorizing and supporting the submittal of a grant application by Save the Family Foundation to the Gila River Indian Community to support their homeless families intervention project. Item 6Q, act on resolution authorizing and supporting the submittal of a grant application by Visit Mesa to the Gila River Indian Community to support marketing and sales for tourism. Item 6R, act on resolution authorizing and supporting the submittal of a grant application by Whisper and Thunder to the Gila River Indian Community to support higher education for Native Americans through their Leadership Academy. Item 6S, Act on Resolution authorizing and supporting the submittal of a grant application by the City of Mesa's Library Services Department to the Gila River Indian Community to support digital literacy, community education, and training. Item 6T, Act on Resolution authorizing the City Manager to enter into a firm transportation service agreement with a term of 10 years for the transportation of natural gas with El Paso Natural Gas. Item 6U, Act on Resolution authorizing the City Manager to enter into the Second Amendment to the Gilbert Road Light Rail Transit Extension Agreement to continue project design and real estate acquisition activities and initiate the procurement of services for final design, construction, and public art for the light rail extension. Funding is mostly from the Federal Congestion Mitigation Air Quality Fund from the Maricopa Association of Governments. There are also matching city funds. Item 6V, Act on Resolution modifying fees and charges for the Arts and Culture Department. Item 6W, Act on Resolution modifying fees and charges for the Planning Division and the Development Services Division of the Development and Sustainability Department. Item 6X, Act on Resolution modifying fees and charges relating to the environmental compliance requirements as part of the Development and Sustainability Department. Item 6Y, Act on Resolution modifying fees and charges for Falcon Field Airport. Item 6Z, Act on Resolution modifying fees and charges for the library. Item 6AA, Act on Resolution modifying fees and charges for the Transportation Department. Item 7A, Introduction of Ordinance amending the Mesa Zoning Ordinance, Title 11 of the Mesa City Code, Chapters 6, 7, 8, 31, and 58, regarding the zoning districts that allow tattoo parlors and body piercing salons, and deleting criteria for the requirement of council use permits of same and providing penalties for violations. Item 8A, Act on Ordinance regarding A14-04, annexing approximately 5.8 acres of land located east of the northeast corner of Alma School and McClellan Roads. This annexation is initiated by the property owners. Item 9A, Act on Resolution declaring modified city code for the residential solid waste tax to be a public record, and Act on Ordinance modifying the city code Title 5, Chapter 13, regarding the residential solid waste development tax. Item 9B, Act on Resolution declaring modified terms and conditions for the sale of utilities to be a public record, and Act on Ordinance modifying the terms and conditions for the sale of utilities related to customer account maintenance, credit and refund policies, certain clerical corrections, and clarifying verbiage. Item 10A, Act on Subdivision Plat, the Summit at Mountain Bridge, 10,500 to 10,700 blocks of East Adobe Road, and the 800 to 900 blocks of North Signal Butte Road. This is located at the northwest corner of Signal Butte and Adobe. Item 10B, Act on Subdivision Plat Leewood, the 4100 block of East Southern Avenue, located on the southwest corner of East Southern Avenue and South Norfolk. And Item 10C, Act on Subdivision Plat Adobe Meadows, the 10,500 to 10,700 blocks of East Adobe Road, and the 800 to 900 blocks of North Signal Butte Road, located at the northwest corner of Signal Butte and Adobe. Mayor and council members, these are the items on the consent agenda.
Thank you, Mr. Clerk. That going? Thank you, sir. Quite a mouthful. You've done an excellent job. Is there any member of the council that would like to remove an item off the consent agenda? No? Ms. Mickelson, any requests to speak or items to be removed?
No request, Mayor.
Okay. Do we have a motion for approving the consent agenda? Oh. It's not working. So, motion. We have a motion by the Vice Mayor, a second by Councilmember Luna. Sir, I believe we have Councilmember Benelli and Councilmember Summers with us now. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yes. Councilmember Summers? Maybe not. Okay, Councilmember Benelli, then. Do you have anything that you'd like to pull or any discussion on item?
No, Mayor.
Okay, wonderful. So we have a motion and a second. We'd ask for you to go ahead and make your vote.
Aye.
Okay, and we have Councilmember Benelli that said aye. And so we're not doing, it's not working. So we'll go ahead and do a voice vote. We have Councilmember Benelli, obviously. all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Any opposed? Nay. Okay, good. Just catching up with the technology here. So, okay, good. So the consent agenda is passed. Our next item on the agenda is to conduct a public hearing regarding the annual assessments for the Mesa Town Center Improvement District number 228. The final assessments this year do not include any rate increases. I'd like to declare this public hearing open. Do we have any comments from the council members on this? No? Councilmember Benelli?
No.
No? Ms. Mickelson, do we have anybody that would like to speak on this item?
No requests, Mayor.
No requests. Okay, I will go ahead and declare this portion, this public meeting or public hearing closed. Okay. Item 11B is to take action on the resolution regarding the annual assessments for the Mesa Town Center Improvement District Number 228. Ms. Mickelson, do any members, citizens wish to speak on this item?
No request, Mayor.
Okay, good. Do we have a motion? We have a motion by the Vice Mayor. Do we have a second? Second by Councilmember Luna. Any further discussion on this item? If not, we'll go ahead and vote. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? It's unanimous on that vote. Okay. Item 12A is to conduct a public hearing regarding the modifications to rates, fees, and charges on the sale of the city-owned utilities, including water, wastewater, electric, and solid waste, natural gas, and utility service fees. I'd like to declare this public hearing open. Any comments from the council members on these items? Whack. no comments from the council members. Ms. Mickelson, any requests to speak on this item?
No requests, Mayor.
Okay, no. Then I will declare this public hearing closed. You heard that one? Good. Okay. Our next item. Yes. Let's see here how we're going to do this. We're going to have Mr. Kevin Christopher come back up if there's no objections by the council members, and then he'll read all of these items into a consent agenda, and then we'll vote on that. Go ahead, Kevin.
Mayor and council members, the following items are on the consent agenda regarding city-owned utility rates, fees, and charges. Item 12B, Act and Resolution declaring modified rates, fees, and charges for electric utility services to be a public record, and Act on Ordinance modifying the rates, fees, and charges for electric utility services. Item 12C, Act and Resolution declaring modified rates, fees, and charges for natural gas utility services to be a public record, and Act on Ordinance modifying the rates, fees, and charges for natural gas utility services. Item 12D, Act and Resolution declaring modified rates, fees, and charges for water utility services to be a public record, and Act on Ordinance modifying the rates, fees, and charges for water utility services. Item 12E, Act on Resolution declaring modified rates, fees, and charges for wastewater utility services to be a public record, and Act on Ordinance modifying the rates, fees, and charges for wastewater utility services. Item 12F, Act on Resolution declaring modified rates, fees, and charges for solid waste utility services to be a public record, and Act on Ordinance modifying the rates, fees, and charges for solid waste utility services. And Item 12G, Act on Resolution declaring modified utility service fees to be a public record, and Act on Ordinance modifying the utility service fees. Mayor and council members, these are the items on the consent agenda.
Thank you, Kevin. Appreciate that. Ms. Mickelson, would any citizen like to speak on any of these items?
There are no requests, Mayor.
No requests. Okay. Entertain a motion for this item. Is it working?
Is it working?
Okay. So we do have Mr. Kavanaugh on there. So do we have a motion, or would you like to speak on this?
I can make a motion.
Please.
May I move approval of items 12B through 12G?
Okay.
12A was a public hearing.
Public hearing. Oh, yes. There you go.
Got it.
Okay, wonderful. So we have a motion. Do we have a second? Good. We have a second by Councilmember Luna. Looks like I'm watching the screen. I don't see it yet. So we'll go ahead and do this by voice. All in favor of these? Thank you. Ms. Benelli.
Yes.
Any questions on any of these items that were just read in on the consent agenda? This is kind of our second consent.
Yeah, no, Mayor.
Okay, thank you. Appreciate your patience. Okay, so we have a motion and we have a second. All those in favor of these items on consent? Okay, thank you. Ms. Benelli, you
aye.
Vote? Aye, we have Ms. Benelli. Okay. Other council members, how do you vote?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, we have, sounds like anybody in opposition? There's no opposition, no nays. So we'll go ahead and take that as a unanimous vote on this segment of this consent agenda. We'll get through this. Okay, thank you. We are now ready to take action on the final budget. State law requires that the council adopt the final budget during a special council meeting. So to comply with state law, we will now recess this regular council meeting and enter into a special council meeting. After we complete the special council meeting, we will then reconvene this regular council meeting and complete the agenda. So, We will now convene the special council meeting for May 19, 2014. First item is item 1A, is to conduct a public hearing on the proposed five-year capital improvement program for fiscal years ending 2015 to 2019. I declare this public this hearing open. Any comments from the council members on this portion?
No, Mayor.
Okay, thank you. Ms. Mickelson, do we have a citizen that would like to speak on this item?
No request, Mayor.
Okay, good. Then I will declare this public hearing closed. Okay. Thank you. We are on item 1B, is to take action on a resolution regarding the proposed five-year capital improvement program for fiscal years ending 2015 and 2019. Okay, so very good. Ms. Mickelson, anybody request to speak on this item?
No request, Mayor.
Okay, good. Council members, any information? Okay. Do we have a motion? Okay, watching the computer. Yes. So looks like we don't have that. So do we have a motion? Council Member Luna, do you make a motion for approval? Okay. And do we have a second? Council Member Kavanaugh, so we have a motion and a second. All those in favor of this, let's start with Council Member Benelli.
Aye.
Okay. So council members, all those in favor of this item 1B on this resolution for a five-year capital improvement plan, please vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? No opposition. So it passes unanimously. Okay, item 1C is to conduct a public hearing on the proposed fiscal year 2014-2015 budget plan. I declare this hearing, public hearing, open. And we looks any comments from the council members first? No? Ms. Benelli, no?
No.
Okay, we do have a blue card requesting to speak, and it is Mike Hutchinson. So we'd like to invite up Mr. Hutchinson. If you'll give us your address, you have 3 minutes, sir, to give us some information.
Good evening. Mike Hutchinson, 4042 East Hope Street, Mesa. I'm here. Good evening, Mayor and Council, City Manager Brady. You know, when I was raised, my parents taught me to say please and thank you. And so I'm down here to thank you for one of the decisions you made in the budget process this year, that the council worked on and the city staff worked on with regard to human service funding for the many agencies in our community. I wear several hats in the community, but I have my citizen hat on tonight. The human service agencies in this community do great things, and the city has long been involved as partners with these various agencies. So because of the budget, the recession over the last few years, the budget had to be reduced, and we understand that. A lot of hard decisions were made, and I think they were all appropriate. Several of us wanted to start the discussion about trying to increase that budget a little bit over the next few years because of the needs in the community. And, you know, some groups have people who speak for them, but oftentimes the poor and the low-income folks don't have people who speak for them. And we have a great tradition in this community, people like Margie Frost, Herb Osman, Pat Gilbert, Milt Lee, who spoke for the people who had needs. And so I am really thankful that you folks in the city staff saw it fit to add an additional $100,000 for these agencies and another $50,000 for utility assistance, which is a huge need in this community. And one thing you can be sure of, you make lots of hard decisions in the budget. And I used to tell a council that the public budgeting is the art of satisfying the irritated without irritating the satisfied. And you've obviously done a very good job, because there's no one here to talk about the budget, I don't think, and it's a huge budget. So I thanks for all your hard work on that, and it's a great accomplishment. But one thing you can be sure of, there's lots of money that will be spent on great projects, But I've learned over the last 8 years that the human service agencies are very well run in this community. They spend the dollars very wisely. So this money will be spent appropriately and wisely and will help a lot of folks in need. So thank you for making that change. City Manager Brady, thank you and your staff for considering that. This last thing I want to talk about is during the process, I was at a meeting of the committee, and Councilmember Richens exhorted the folks in the community to work to improve the ABC program. And so I stood up and said, I'll work on that as a citizen. I think it's an important program. So we started the work this year. We had great staff support by Neil Curley and Natalie Lewis. We had a couple of meetings of our agencies. And we are interested in continuing to work on that program. It's a lot harder to fix than we thought. But it's something that we ought to, as a community, work on. It gives our citizens the opportunity to contribute to these agencies in a way through the city. So I'm here to say that we're willing to continue to work on it. There's a group of us who started. We want to continue to try to move it forward with maybe a new name and some better marketing approaches. And I know there's some expenses associated with that, so got to plan that into the budget. But certainly I'll help all I can, and there's other folks who have already stepped up. So thank you again for allowing me to speak, and congratulations on adopting your budget. It's always a big night in the city when that's done.
Wonderful.
Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Hutchinson. Appreciate that. Ms. Mickelson, any other requests to speak on this item?
No requests, Mayor.
Okay, thank you. I'll declare the public hearing closed. Excellent. Our next item is 1D. And that is to take action on a resolution approving the budget for the fiscal year ending June 30th, 2015. This motion will require 5 votes for approval. Ms. Mickelson, any citizens request to speak on this item?
No request, Mayor.
No? Okay, I'll entertain a motion. We have a motion by the Vice Mayor. We have a second by Councilmember Richens. Any further comment by the council members? Okay. We'll go ahead.
Mayor.
Okay, thank you. Councilmember Benelli, how do you vote?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. All those for approval of this item, please indicate.
Aye.
For approval. Okay, we have, looks like we have 5 ayes. Any opposed? Obviously not. Thank you. So we have 6 ayes. Thank you. Counting through the through these. Okay, so we have 6 ayes. This motion passes. Okay. That completes this agenda for the special council meeting. Do I have a motion to adjourn the special council meeting? We have a motion by the Vice Mayor. Do we have a second? We have a second by Councilmember Luna. We have adjourned the special council meeting. Having adjourned the special council meeting, we will now reconvene the May 19, 2014 regular council meeting, and we are now at item 13. And so just wanted to take a moment here to explain some of the guidelines and rules that we have for this item. How we'll do this item 13 is we'll have the staff that will introduce the project and let us know about it. We'll have the applicant that will take some time to explain their position and what they're talking about. They usually have more time than the 3 minutes is allotted. That's because they've gone through the expense and time to make the ask. And then if citizens, depending on how many of these cards, it looks like we're doing okay on the number of cards. So each citizen will have a portion of time where the citizens will be able to come up and share with us for 3 minutes their concerns or their support for this particular item. And we'd ask that there be no clapping or booing or response from the audience when someone is speaking. The whole idea is we're trying to get through this smoothly and be able to give everybody the opportunity to speak. And so we'd ask for your patience and your support as we work through the different speakers. And we realize that there'll be agreement and disagreement, but we would ask you to be respectful of those that are waiting to speak or have spoken. And so we'll, when you come up, we'd like to have you give us, state your name and give us your address where you reside, and then we'll look forward to hearing from you for about 3 minutes. So, item 13, is to take action on an ordinance for zoning case Z14-005, 5656 East Albany Street, located north and east of North 56th Street and east of Main Street. It's approximately 32 acres, rezoned to City of Mesa zoning RS-9AS. This request will establish the City of Mesa zoning on property that was previously annexed into Mesa. So, Ms. Mickelson, we see obviously we have some folks to speak, I presume. We have those. Maybe we could get an overview first by staff. Is that you, Mr. Wesley, that will kind of tell us what we're doing here?
Yes, Mayor. I'll provide the staff comments. For this particular case, as stated, this is a request based on the annexation of the property. In the county, it had an R18 SC zoning district. And now that's come into the city, we need to establish the city comparable zoning district, which is the RS9AS zoning district. These are single-family zoning districts that allow, in our case, of the city, a 9,000-square-foot lot, and it has age-restricted overlay with that to be comparable with what was in the county where it had the senior citizen overlay.
Okay. Ms. Spinner, could you take just a moment and tell people why we're doing this?
Yes, Mayor. We actually have items 13A and 13B, and John has just explained 13A, that it is the property was annexed some time ago. The City of Mesa zoning was not addressed at that time, so council's being asked to address that now. Ultimately, the applicant has asked for the zoning that is identified in item 13B. If the council prefers, you can handle the discussion of these all together, both, since they are basically the same piece of property. You should take votes on them separately because one has a legal protest, that's item 13B. But if you want to address the speakers together, you can ask them to address either their concerns on A and B together. So I think John has explained the 13A, the comparable zoning. If you want him to explain what will happen under 13B, the rezoning, or you can just ask the applicant to come up and he can explain his request with regard to 13B.
Okay. Just making sure the council is acceptable to combining the two. No opposition there. Council Member Benelli, you okay with that?
Yes, I am, Mayor.
Okay, good. Then we'll combine 13A and 13B for the sake of discussion, but we realize we'll have a separate vote for each.
Yes, Mayor.
Okay, wonderful. Did you want to give an overview a little bit more on 13B, please?
Yes, sir. I'll go ahead and do that, too. With regard to item 13B, it's to take then that 32 acres on the north side of Albany Street, just east of 56th, and rezone from the city zoning to another zoning classification, the RSL 2.5. That's a small lot, single-family residential zoning category that allows the lots to be down to the 2,500-square-foot size. This rezoning still maintains single-family zoning, so it will be single-family houses on the individual lots. The rezoning would allow 228 lots on the 32 acres. It retains a little over 8.5 acres as common open space with amenity package to go with that. The particular proposal is for what we call a cluster product. This is a series of six residential units organized around an alley or a motor court. And then the houses, the driveways connect to the garages on that motor court. The fronts of the houses face a common courtyard in the middle. And so people would come and go from their houses on the front side through that courtyard. This is one of the first of these courtyard-type products that we've had come in a while. Staff spent considerable time working with the applicant on the proposal to address some of the site issues, circulation issues, parking issues, and so forth on this particular product to make sure that it was something that would work and function well and endure well over time.
Councilmember Kavanaugh has a question.
Sure. Thank you. Just a question, John. Just in terms of the circulation elements, and I'm sure it's there in the report, but we've addressed all the issues of both our solid waste department and fire department, correct?
That is correct.
Okay, I just wanted to confirm that. Thank you.
Yes, they will provide for a solid waste pickup along the public street that circulates through the development. All the houses will need to be within 150 feet of the access or provide sprinklers if they're further than that to provide for and meet the fire access requirements. So with those modifications and with the work that we've had with the applicant, this comes to you with a recommendation for approval by staff and by the Planning and Zoning Board.
Okay. Thank you for that overview. We'd like to invite up the applicant now. He will have additional time to describe everything that they're proposing here. And then after we have the speakers and the citizens, we also allow the applicant to come up and be able to address any questions that might have come up. So, well, yes, Councilmember Richens.
Just real quick, because there's six of us here, there's a legal protest. Can you just clarify real quick?
Yeah, Ms. Spinner, would you address that, please?
Yes, Mayor. On 13A, the comparable zoning, there is not a legal protest attached to that item, so that will require four votes. On 13B, there is a legal protest attached, and because of that, under state law, it will require six votes to pass.
Okay. And that's why we're having the separate votes also.
Correct, yes. Mayor.
Okay. Yes, if you'll let us know who you are and...
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, thank you very much. My name is Ralph Pugh. My office address is 1744 South Val Vista Drive here in Mesa, Suite 217. It's a pleasure to be here tonight on behalf of William Lyon Homes, who is the developer of the housing project that Mr. Wesley has explained to you. This is an unusual circumstance, as Councilmember Richens just mentioned. As of right now, I understand that Councilmember Summers is not on the phone. Councilmember Benelli is. We are willing and ready to proceed. Typically, we would ask for a continuance because, as you know, these cases require a supermajority vote, and in fairness, all council members should be here. Recognizing the neighbors that have taken their time to be here, we would like to proceed with the presentation. However, it would be helpful so that we don't get to the end of this discussion and wonder where we are, and should we have continued this case until a full council is here. I guess the unusual question I have for you as council members would be, if we make the presentation a brief one, listen to the neighbors that have interest in this case, and then solicit your individual thoughts and inclinations without a vote, that would give us an opportunity to know whether this case needs to be continued or not. It's a delicate way of saying, can you talk about it a little bit and let us know if someone's inclined to deny this case? Because if that's the case, we'll need to continue till we have seven, in fairness. But rather than ask for the continuance now and disrupt all the people who have taken their time to be here, we'd like to go forward. But that's a delicate question I have for you. Maybe you don't want to do that. Maybe you're not inclined. What do you think, Mayor and council members? What would you like us to do?
So my first thought would be to continue. These folks have traveled a long distance, and they've waded through a lot of processes. And I think it would be my feeling that we continue with your presentation, hear from the folks, see where we're at. Councilmember Summers, just so you understand, is a fire department medic, and he's trying to call in. He received a call, and he's out on an emergency call, and we're trying to get him cleared to be able to get back on the line. So... we realize, and Councilmember Summers, might that be you?
No. It might be.
It might be. Thank heavens. Good. So let's just proceed as
all of the on. Delicate diplomatic language. Mr. Summers is here. Thank you very much. Mayor and Council.
Excellent. Thank you, Mr. Pugh.
The request in front of you tonight concerns the 32-acre Dreamland Villa 9-hole golf course, as it's referred to. We are requesting rezoning to your really new zoning district called Residential Small Lot 2.5. It's important to note, council members, that this case is squarely located within the city's general plan that calls for 6 to 10 dwelling units per acre. You will hear comments tonight about those who think that the density should be less than that. That question was asked and answered through the general plan, and this plan in front of you tonight is at 7.2 units to the acre, right on the low end of the general plan category. As Mr. Wesley said, the staff has recommended approval, and so has the Planning and Zoning Board. This is a good site map that shows you where the golf course is. It's located just east of Higley on the south side of University. What you see kind of in pink around the edges are areas that are annexed into the city of Mesa. The blue is the golf course, and everything around it is county, not annexed into the city. And I wanted to just kind of put it in perspective so you can see this is the asset that is in the city of Mesa not in Maricopa County. Here's an interesting, quick discussion of Dreamland Villa. The golf course council members was never a part of the amenity package for Dreamland Villa. When Ross Farnsworth started this process of developing Dreamland Villa, there were no amenities. There was no master plan. It was simply the concept he had of developing houses in this area for those 55 and above. You see the golf course there in green. Now let's take a quick trip through the development of this, remembering that the housing product in this area was developed and built in the 50s and 60s, some in the early 70s. We are dealing with housing product here that is in the 50-year-old range. Here's phase one of Dreamland Villa, 1958. Phase two comes in 59. Phase three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10. We get all the way through the 60s with that development kind of east of Higley on both sides of University. We start then to get into the 70s, well, one more in 69. Then we come down here with another one east of there, and then the big one, phase 14, is 1970. All that was developed initially with no amenities. There came to be a point where Mr. Farnsworth decided, let's put in some shuffleboard courts. So he did. Then it evolved into a small swimming pool and a little small rec area. It has evolved since then. But this was not designed with those type of age-restricted amenities that we see today in today's environment. Here, then, is the important aspect. The golf course was purchased by Mr. Farnsworth in 1971 after all of the development had occurred for Dreamland Villa. He actually got that after the people who built the hotel south of it that fronts onto Main Street, they actually bought that and built that for a golf course as an amenity to their hotel. Then it changed hands, and then the Farnsworths took it over and ran it for a number of years. So that's setting the stage for the history and the timing. This is a very instructive map to take a quick look at. The pink is the golf course area. The blue are 30 lots located on the east side of the golf course. Those 30 lots were mapped out and platted in 1961. In 1980, the owners of those lots decided to change their deed restrictions and age restrict those lots. Then in 1986, the same group of owners got together and changed the deed restrictions again, eliminating the age restriction. So the 30 lots that are immediately east of the golf course, and therefore this proposed project, are not age restricted. And when you take a look at the whole community around it, clearly the bulk is senior living. No question about it. Not every parcel is that way, but the bulk of them are, and we acknowledge that. But we wanted to point out here that on this particular location, those are not age restricted. Here's the real heart of the issue on age restriction. I think if we followed the concern of our surrounding property owners to age restrict this property and make it a single-family subdivision typical to what is there today, we would be asking ourselves to develop in 2014 or 15 a 1960s product. There is nothing to support an age-restricted development on 30 acres. We represent numerous home builders who do targeted communities, age-restricted, targeted, some age-restricted. They all have common elements, council members. They have social connection. They have like large living room areas and assembly areas where they can meet. They have health and wellness. They have spas. They have exercise equipment. They have consultations. They also have learning and exploration areas where they have clubs, all within the project. They meet, they play their music, or they have their learning, their book clubs, whatever. It makes it a community. Yet that cannot be done on 32 acres. So if you're inclined to make this be age-restricted, first of all, the property owner doesn't want it age-restricted. Secondly, to develop it, it would just be like the rest of what's there today. Nothing new, nothing creative, not thinking beyond what we've done for the last 50 years there. It's also important to note, as we move on to the next topic, which is the owner to the north and his concerns, that under the City of Mesa Code, the City of Mesa Zoning Code anticipates this and expects that age-restricted projects have 40 acres or more. This is 30. So it's something to think about there. Now let's ask ourselves, how can we answer the questions that were raised by Mr. Leon Ricks in his recent email of concerns to council members? Mr. Ricks owns the apartments that are on the north side of the golf course. They face onto University. They have back patios that have enjoyed marvelous views of the golf course for years. His first objection is that the density of this project is out of place and disproportionate. Please recognize, as you consider his concerns in fairness to the process, the apartments that Mr. Ricks owns are at an 11 unit per acre density, and they're multifamily, attached units. This is detached, single family at 7 units to the acre. So from a density point of view, we are much below that. With respect to two-story, in the multifamily district in the county, that property could be redeveloped any day that Mr. Ricks or a subsequent owner wanted to, and could go 40 feet in height. City of Mesa's code is 30, and we're simply complying with that. The most interesting of all is buffers, council members. Let me show you an exhibit here. We really have listened to Mr. Ricks. We couldn't do everything he asked us to do. We can't make this a senior project, but we are offering to him a much better buffer than he has. As you look at this exhibit on the left-hand side, what you see in green is the green space that exists on the south end of the apartments. It's about 35 feet from the property line to the livable area of the apartments. Rather than building our wall on that property line, we are proposing to do what you see on the exhibit on the right. And that is, we're proposing to add 20 more feet of landscape that Mr. Ricks's apartment tenants and occupants can enjoy. We're going to move our wall 20 feet further south into our property and build our wall there, landscape that area, and now provide 65 feet of more landscaping and open space there. We're further committed to handling the drainage that occurs in that area, so that Mr. Ricks does not have to deal with that. And again, rather than building our wall there, we're going to take care of that and design that drainage into our property. The most telling of all, however, is the idea that if we built on this golf course a typical single-family subdivision of 6,000 square feet in size, look at the left-hand side of this exhibit. You see three houses there with the hash line. They would be 20 feet from the wall, and there would only be 15 feet of distance between those three houses. Look on the right side of the exhibit. There is less housing that faces the apartments, and there's more buffer. The tightest place is 27 and a half feet, which greatly exceeds the 15, and the most open place is 44 feet. So we've done all we can do to accommodate the interest of our neighbor to the north, except make it all single story, which can't be done with this product. It just doesn't work at that height. So we have listened, we've done what we can do, and that's our proposal for increasing the buffer and increasing the viewability corridors. Mr. Wesley covered site design. I really don't want to take too much of your time, council members, with this, because we have answered all of these questions and complied with the new code. Please note, your code today requires a project of this nature to have 2.1 acres of open space. We're providing 8.6, significantly more open space. And we've designed it in such a way that it's accessible and very usable. We've complied with your open space separation issues. We're providing fencing throughout the project, both solid wall, view fencing, a combination of fencing, as you can see here in the locations where it's appropriate. All, again, consistent with the development code. Here is a shot of the front elevations of the product. We have agreed to work with the Design Review Board. One of the conditions in the ordinance tonight is to take this case to the Design Review Board for review of four-sided elevation and what that means and what it would look like. So we're agreeable to that, and that protection and provision is in here. This, again, is a typical design of how the spaces work. We can take time to explain that, but I think you all heard that on the Higley and Brown case a few weeks ago and understand how this project and product is designed. Parking, in this circumstance, we have 2.6 parking spaces per unit, which exceeds the code amount for these types of developments. We've included what they call speed tables in the middle of the project for safety, as Councilmember Kavanaugh mentioned. We've satisfied the engineering requirements. Here's an interesting concept. At the planning and zoning meeting, there was a great discussion about circulation and traffic. This exhibit demonstrates that there are paved roads on the east and west and the south and the north of this project. There's plenty of access and drivability for these units that will not cause a traffic problem in the neighborhood. That issue has not been raised by any city department, certainly not traffic engineering. The other thing that's interesting, you all know you adopted a new engineering detail for the sale of utilities recently to accommodate cluster development of this nature. We have worked with the staff, and we understand how our project will be compliant with that new M53 detail. Took a little effort, a lot of work. Thanks to the staff for working through that, and we understand that requirement. Mayor and council members, you're going to hear tonight that this just doesn't fit the lifestyle in the area. It is different. Let's admit that. Clearly it is, and it's intended to be. It's intended to revitalize the area, the market, the people that typically buy these homes are typically newlyweds with small families, urban professionals, and new empty nesters. That's typically the buyers. A large family does not buy this home. They know the sizes. They know the size of the garages. They know the access limitations. They understand it. It's a choice. It's a lifestyle choice. And many, many people are buying these homes today. It is not an income issue. There will be those that want you to think it is. And frankly, under today's qualifying requirements, it is difficult to obtain one of these homes and to finance them. So it is not an income issue. Ha, we've been asked about the birds, and I'll quit here in just a second. We've been asked, what are we going to do with the natural habitat or the man-made habitat that exists for the migratory and water-related fowl that are out there? We know about that act. We're not ignorant of it, and we intend to comply with it. The Migratory Birds Treaty Act, how do you like that? That's a federal government at its best, requires that you can disturb the habitat of these birds, but what you can't do is disturb that habitat during the breeding season. So whatever that time period is, it's X to Y. Don't ask me what it is because I don't know, but we will comply with that act. So if someone wants to stand up here tonight and say, what are you going to do about that? That's our answer, and we're going to comply. With that, Mayor and Council, we urge your support of this case. It is compliant, again, with your general plan, meets the design criteria for this product. Thank you for your attention. Be happy to answer any questions that you might have this evening.
Council members, any questions for Mr. Pugh? Okay, thank you, Mr. Pugh.
Thank you.
No. Council members Benelli and Summers, do you have any questions for Mr. Pugh at this time?
No, Mayor.
Okay, thank you.
No, Mayor.
Thank you, sir.
Mayor, if I could have a moment for rebuttal when it's finished, we'll find out where we are questions with everyone. Thank you.
Okay, very good. Our first speaker is present, Joy Grafton. We'd like to welcome you up to the podium. Joy, are you still here?
I certainly am.
Here she comes. Wonderful.
In all my glory.
Nice. Joy, as you're coming up, we look forward to having you let us know your address, and you have 3 minutes, and we'd love to hear from you. Do you need any accommodations there?
I don't think so. Does my voice project so people can hear me?
We can hear you, but sometimes our viewing audience might not be able to hear. So.
Okay, is that better?
I think they're working on a handheld for you. Here it comes right now. Yeah, it's good.
Oh, it's working. Thank you so much.
Wonderful.
Mayor, council members, I am here as Joy Grafton. I live at 5509 East Covina Avenue in Mesa. I am a resident of Dreamland Villa. I do have a couple of remarks just right off the top. I want to assure you that we have no problem coming back for a continuance. If that's what we need to do, we will be here and be here cheerfully. Secondly, I would respectfully request that the references to this property as 30 or 32 plus acres, as it shows in all documentation that's already been filed, is erroneous. The actual acreage is 29.65 acres. I would ask that all that be taken care of and corrected. All right, I'd like to start with the fact that we as the residents of Dreamland Villa originally protested the proposed development of the golf course because we believe the development will negatively affect our lifestyles, quality of life, and our property values, despite the fact that there seems to be some feeling that 50 or 60-year-old buildings are obsolete and not desirable. We find them to be very desirable, very well built. Most of us chose to purchase our homes here because we were done with raising children and fighting everyday rush hour traffic. The fact that the golf course existed was a draw for people who wanted to be near a golf course that was reasonably priced, and it did provide a lovely green space, the only one, for our community. While we do recognize the seller's right to sell his property and to request a zoning change, we also believe that planning and zoning and the city council have a responsibility to ensure that both the Dreamland Villa residents and future residents of the development enjoy the best quality lifestyle, both in the quality of the development and consideration of sensitive environmental issues. The decisions you make will have unforeseen effects on the lifestyle and quality of life of Mesa residents directly and indirectly, whether or not they are your actual constituents. One of the primary responsibilities the City Council has is to ensure compliance with the building code. The City of Mesa's building code is both specific and explicit, and it sets the absolute minimum standard that's deemed acceptable. It was created to prevent unscrupulous builders from building garbage, homes that were poorly constructed and unsafe. In the February meeting, Mr. Pugh stated that as of that date, all the requested changes, quote, to this code, whether they're called variances or exceptions, met the intent of the code. We maintain that when the conditions under which a builder will be allowed to build is as specific as those in the current building code, such as an 8-foot setback, intent is almost irrelevant and not subject to interpretation, because the intent of the city is clearly and unequivocally stated within the code. Therefore, no changes, no exceptions, no variances, or other deviations from the code should be granted. Refusal to grant these deviations is for the public good and trumps private investment. The only intent here is the intent of the developer to cram as many units as possible in the buildable space on the land purchased. We don't need residents of Dreamland Villa or of the proposed development to become the collateral damage of poor planning and development. The choice is not to be left up to the buyers. The choice is really lying with the City Council. I realize I've run out of time.
We've allowed you to go a little longer because Joel was gracious enough to extend some of his time to you, so we've just quietly handled it up here.
Okay.
And so you have a minute or two more.
Okay,
if you want
to finish
up.
Okay, that's all I need.
Okay.
I have brought packets for each member of the City Council, which includes not only what I'm saying tonight, but documentation in support of it. To be realistic, we've identified conditions for the public good that we would like you to include in your approval, if your approval is for this development is inevitable. One, do not grant any deviations from the building code. Require the developer to install high-efficiency fixtures and appliances to minimize water consumption as a standard part of every unit sale. Without these high efficiency features and appliances, the water consumption is estimated to be in excess of 16 million gallons per year for this proposed development. We would ask that no two-story homes or higher exist on the perimeter of the development. Make the unit clusters 4 instead of 6. Make the proposed development a gated community. Make sure proposed play areas for children are easily accessible for all units. Demand that all landscaping for the development be desert landscaping to conserve water. Resolve all staff concerns listed in the planning and development report dated February 19th and May 19th to the benefit of future residents and to satisfy the concerns raised by the staff. do not allow catch basins and drainage areas to be included in the square footage calculations of units per acre for building purposes. And lastly, please correct all submitted in future documents to read the parcel 29.65 acres. I appreciate your time and attention. Thank you.
Thank you, Joy. Nice to have you with us. We appreciate that. And Joel,
yes.
Thank you for giving up your time for Joy to be able to speak. And we have you on record as Joel Jones, and you are opposed to this item. And thank you, sir. For this is how we like to have it. Usually get a spokesperson if we have a lot of folks and be able to get a little bit more in-depth of sharing. The next person that would is marked as unopposed and would like to speak is Patricia Hynoski. I hope I have stated that name, and feel free to correct me when you come up. So, Patricia, feel free to come up. Nice to have you with us this evening. And if you'll give us your address.
My name is Patricia Hynoski. I'm at 5424 East Billings Street. I'm not a user of the golf course, but I am a user of the community. I ride my bicycle around the community. It's all two lanes, one lane in each direction. That's a lot of cars coming and going out of this new proposed community. What's going to happen when we're riding our bikes in the evening and one of the teenagers comes ripping around the corner? How many entrances and exits? One, all on the same street, which is only one lane in each direction. I think that's something to think about. We're old. We move slow. We ride our bikes slow. It's just to have an all-age community in the middle is just against everything that I purchased. I saved and purchased a house in a senior area. I want it to stay a senior area. Okay. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Patricia. Appreciate it. We have two additional blue cards that looks like they both are opposed. It would be Luana, what is that pronunciation?
Aguilar.
Aguilar. And then we have Russell Mathis, I believe. Matias, thank you. That have stated that they're opposed to this item and but do not wish to speak. So any other blue cards along those lines? Okay, we'd like to invite up Mr. Pugh then, if you want to follow up and address some of the traffic concerns or information.
Mayor and council members, just briefly to clarify the difference between the building code and the zoning code. We are not asking for deviations from the City of Mesa building code. There is one deviation from the zoning code that we're seeking, and that has to do with the garage size from 21 and 20 to 19 and 20 in size, and we believe that's justified by the exceeding amount of open space we have here, kind of a PAD trade-off. We also have agreed to notify buyers so they fully understand that and recognize the size of that, and both planning staff and Planning and Zoning Board have recommended approval of that one deviation to the zoning code, no deviations to the building code. And lastly, I just say briefly that we're not really in the middle of this project. This golf course is located on the south end, right along Albany Street, that joins the City of Mesa, that joins all the commercial uses there, and the traffic is just fine. It does not overburden the roads at all. So, Mayor, with that, we respectfully urge your support of this case. And again, I'll politely solicit thoughts and comments from all of you so we can decide if we need to continue this case tonight, if you'd be kind enough to. Oh, we have Mr. Summers with us.
Well, we don't now.
Oh.
So we have a question. Councilmember Richens for Mr. Pugh.
Okay.
So can you walk me through the garage, the need for that deviation?
Yeah, Councilmember, Mayor Finter, Councilmember Richens, the we're seeking the 1 foot deviation from 19, to make it 19 by 20 instead of 20 by 21. And the reason for that is I know it sounds kind of strange, but as you move that 1 foot, it increases the footprint of each house, it limits the amount of open space, and it moves everything on that map out several feet when you think about that in multiple units. And William Lyon Homes has had success with this product and this size, and they've got a very good way of notifying buyers about it. They know what they're buying. They know what can fit in that garage. And that was the one deviation that we were asking for, Councilmember Richens, out of all of them.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Councilmember Summers, we wanted to confirm you're back with us.
Believe it or not, for just a second anyway.
Before a fire starts again.
Okay. So this is quite an adventure.
Actually, that's what I'm on.
Yes, we have a question, Councilmember Kavanaugh, for Ms. Spinner.
Just a question on the passage from Planning and Zoning. The 13B passed, three members in favor, one opposed, and one abstention, but Planning and Zoning is a seven-member board. So doesn't it require a four-person majority?
Mayor, Councilmember Kavanaugh, I spoke to Gordon about that today. Historically, the Planning and Zoning Board has always passed resolutions based on the majority of the members present. So they had five members present at the time, two absences. So
that's a custom and usage of the board and not a requirement?
That is the history of the Planning and Zoning Board, yes.
Okay. That's not something we could do.
No. Because okay. That's defined in the charter for the City Council.
Okay. Well, that might be something we need to address, because despite custom and usage, I think on planning and zoning cases, there should be at least a four-member majority to move an item forward to council. So just need a clarification. We were questioning about that.
We'll pass on that comment.
So maybe at this point, the applicant is kind of asked to get some feelings and feedback. Councilmember Benelli, would you like to maybe start, and if you have any questions or...
district.
Yes, it is your district, and we'd appreciate that feedback.
So, Mayor and Council, I don't have any additional questions on this topic, and I'm inclined to vote in favor of this.
Okay, so we have that bit of information. Councilmember Summers, are you still with us?
I am, Mayor.
Okay, would you like to take a moment now and share with us maybe any thoughts or concerns or questions that you might have?
No concerns, Mayor. I'll be in support of this motion as well. The reason being, Mesa for quite a number of decades has not adopted ordinance specifically creating age-restricted communities. We've left that to the private developers through their development agreements, and that way the city isn't put into a position to enforce that rule. Plus, with this, the acreage of this particular development being below 40 and our new codes calling for age-restricted only for 40 and up, I think it would be appropriate to approve this measure. And if the developer wishes to make it age-restricted, then I would certainly encourage that, but I leave that to the market.
Okay. Thank you for that information. Okay, how about other council members? Any feedback for the applicant? Councilmember Luna.
I'm also pleased with the development, and I'm inclined to support the motion for approval.
Okay. Any other council members that'd like to share? Councilmember Richens.
I went out last week and drove your neighborhoods and saw... I don't know, there's a combination of really well-kept houses and some real struggle out there in that neighborhood. My home was built in 1962. I share your love of those mid-century homes. I think they are lovely. Our neighborhood's aging quite nicely. We really go out of our way. Ralph answered a question for me that I had as I drove that neighborhood, and that was the disposition of the homes on the east side. From what I observed, it didn't seem like those homes were of the same age restriction just based on what I saw in the driveway, unless you guys have a really fun, like, off-road club out there. You know, it just didn't, some didn't quite seem right there. But those homes are quite lovely. But there's some of the multifamily that was really struggling. In regards to the 29.65 acre thing, I just did a quick calculation. It just changes the density from 7.2 to 7.6. So it's not a real material change in that calculation. I get your point. I like, you know, to be accurate and exact. And if you look on the plans, actually, it does have that number on it. The other thing I did was some quick calculations about traffic, and that's always a big concern. And when you start running the numbers, you start getting a clearer picture of what traffic looks like. And you know, this is 228 homes. Did I get that right, Mr. Pugh? 228. And so just assuming that,
you know, every home has two cars, and they assuming they might have four car trips a day. So once to work, once home from work, maybe to the store, maybe, you know, running the kids around. That's about 1,800 to 1,900 car trips a day, which is actually a pretty low number with for within a neighborhood. You would be surprised within your own neighborhoods how many car trips that you guys take impacting your own neighborhood. I have a street in my neighborhood, 10th Street, that we're trying to mitigate traffic on that gets, it's a neighborhood street that gets over 6,000 cars a day down it. So I know traffic impacts and the struggles that can cause to a neighborhood, but you know, 1,800 cars a day is actually not a huge number, particularly with four exits in various places. That'll disperse that traffic actually quite nicely. So, you know, given what I saw out in that neighborhood, I would be also surprised that given the amenity package that's out there and the number of parks and the proximity to schools, if you get a lot of young families moving in that area. I know that it wouldn't be an area I would choose to move my family. I have four children. That neighborhood wouldn't work for me. If my kids were all grown and gone, it might. It might work for me a little bit better. I think you're going to see a kind of a natural market shake out of this area, that you'll see a lot of folks that are, as Mr. Pugh described, they'll naturally select, and most of them will probably be empty nesters or really young couples making their first investment in a home. We have a similar development going in down the street from my neighborhood where I live now, and the neighborhood next door is actually rather excited about it going in. They're excited about the reinvestment in that community. So I'm inclined to support this project. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilmember Richens. Others who would like to speak? No? Okay. So I think we've had the feedback. Mr. Pugh, how do you feel? You're getting I can offer my opinion here, but.
Mayor, because we have Councilmember Summers and Councilmember Benelli on the phone and five of you here, I would be out of order to request a continuance. If full council is available, please vote on the matter.
Okay. Well, we definitely have those. okay, so the first item B, then we'll take item 13A, and that's I'll restate it again so people understand what we're voting on. It's to take action on an ordinance for zoning case Z14-005, 5656 East Albany, located north and east of the North 56th Street and east of Main Street, rezoned to City of Mesa Zoning RS9. This request will establish City of Mesa zoning on a property that was previously annexed into the city. So would you, and let's go ahead and state that motion in full so people understand what we're voting on.
So I move that we request that we establish the zoning on the previously annexed property on 13A.
So a motion for approval by Vice Mayor Glover. We have a second by Council Member Kavanaugh. Do we have any further comment by the council members, Council Member Benelli and Council Member Summers?
No, Mayor.
Okay, none.
No further questions.
No further questions. Okay, so we have the motion and second. All in favor of this motion, please indicate. Aye. Any opposed?
Aye.
Okay. Aye.
Thank you. So, okay, we have that. I want to make sure I get this in right order next time as we do that. So we have a motion and we have a vote, and it is unanimous at this time, and that is for 13A. Okay, now 13B will be to take action on an ordinance for zoning case Z-14-06-5656 East Albany, located north and east of North 56th Street and East Main Street, rezoned to RSL 2.5 PAD to allow for the development of a single-family subdivision. There is a legal protest on this item, so six votes are required for approval of this item. And so do we have a motion? If you'll please state the motion.
I move that we take action on ordinance for zoning case Z14-006.
And that motion is for approval?
Yes.
Okay, so we have a motion for approval by the Vice Mayor Glover. Do we have a second?
Second.
I'm sorry, that was Council Member Richens has seconded that motion. Is there any further comment on this motion and second?
No, Mayor.
No? Okay, Council Member Summers?
No, Mayor.
Okay. So let's go ahead. All in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Negative. Okay, so it this motion carries unanimously as a vote from the City Council.
Thank you, Mayor, Council.
Okay, so thank you for all that have come out and participated. We appreciate your patience and being with us here. Item 14 is items from citizens present. Ms. Mickelson, do we have any further requests to speak?
No requests, Mayor.
Okay, no further requests to speak. We have a motion for adjournment, a second by the Vice Mayor. All in favor, say aye.
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 We are adjourned.